Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning and the 4th of July. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Lazelia.
That would be a little weird. Sounds pretty.
I'm sure it is. It's in Lauderdale County.
There we go.
12 miles north of Meridian.
Nice.
There we go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for the 4th of July. It's what's for America. If you are cooking out today on the birthday of our great country, well, then nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Before the fireworks hit the sky, let the fireworks hit the grill with some steaks and some burgers, or maybe you're going all day with a brisket. Whatever it is, in this country, we eat beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and I know that you are looking for it. They're running a great special today. 4th of July special over at College Corner. I knew they would eventually get to one. They just sent the email out today. If you're not on their email list, you need to get on it so you can keep up with these great deals. It actually starts Thursday, but it's Thursday through Sunday in-store or online. Spend $100, you get 10% off. Spend $200, 20% off. Spend $300, get 30% off. That's in-store or online at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Floyd by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town always at Restaurant Tyler. I didn't make it to Restaurant Tyler this week, so that means next week I'm going to have to go. It's been too long. You know, I made that New Year's resolution to eat there more often. I was on a good pace, and now I got to get back on the pace. I got to go have lunch at Restaurant Tyler, perhaps with my friend Robbie.
Yes.
Yay! All right. That's good stuff.
I'm never going to turn down a catfish bouillie plate or a fried chicken bouillie plate.
Neither am I.
Whatever
we'll do it next week. You should do it next time you get a chance. If you're in Starkville for lunch, the best place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have a question about your money, you need answers. You need to get those answers from a banker who knows you the same way they know your money, a bank that provides a different kind of service. That's Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We will talk some football on today's show. We've got an opponent preview to do, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Jackson Fuller of the Southwest Times Record is going to join us just a little bit. But before we do that, let's go now to my completely superior to Robbie's interview with Mississippi State head baseball coach Brian O'Connor. Pleased to welcome to the podcast for the first time the new head coach at Mississippi State, Brian O'Connor. And coach, first off, thanks for taking some time out of the day to talk to me. You know, when you hire a new coach in football, you know, if he's an offensive coach, you're like, okay, you're going to see this style of football from this team now. Basketball is kind of the same way. You never hear that with baseball. You never hear about a coach's style. What is the Brian O'Connor style of baseball? What is a hallmark of a Brian O'Connor coached baseball team?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think it's sometimes in basketball or football, you know, there's a lot of scheming and type things in those two sports. Like in basketball, they play, you know, they might play a real up and down game or more of a defense or the certain style of offense in football. You know, baseball is a little bit different. Certainly, I would call our style aggressive, especially from an offensive standpoint. You know, We're going to run the bases aggressively. We're going to try to take the extra base. We're going to put pressure on the other team. We're going to be, we're not going to take many pitches. We're going to be aggressive in the batter's box. And then, I think anybody to be successful at a high level in college baseball, you got to be able to pitch and defend, right? And so that shows up every day. So we'll be aggressive on the mound. So I'd say it, all in all, it's fundamental. Right. The fundamentals of the game that show up consistently to give yourself a chance to win. And then it's, just very, very aggressive.
One thing I like to ask new coaches when I interview them for the first time is if I could take you back in time to your first day on the job at Virginia and you could tell yourself something that you know now that you didn't know then, what would it be?
I'll tell you, that poise is incredibly important, especially in big moments in the game and during the season. When I took over Virginia, I was 32 years old, had never been a head coach, right? And was so eager and was so intense all the time. And, I think early in my time there, when it got to NCAA tournament time, the players didn't handle it real well. And I think that was partly because of my leadership. And as the years went on, I started to learn that, you prepare a team the right way every day, you do the right things, and then you have to show poise and confidence in the most important times.
I don't know if you know this about yourself. I'm sure you do. But if you Google Brian O'Connor, you are not the first thing that comes up. On average, how many Fast and Furious references do you get in a year?
it's more like, when somebody looks at my license at an airport or something like that, that's when I hear it the most. I don't really hear it a lot of other times. I do have to tell you, when I used to have Twitter. I don't have social media anymore. I got rid of it a while ago. But back when I did, when Paul Walker actually passed away, my Twitter followers jumped up about 500. And I just think people couldn't draw the line between a movie, the actual character in a movie, and that person's actually a real person. So really it only happens sometimes when people look at my license and they're like, huh, just because of all those Fast and Furious movies out there.
I think if we made some shirts that said, had your picture on it that says, I live my life one inning at a time, I think we could sell. We got some merch ideas here.
That's right. I like it.
So as a coach, recruiting is the lifeblood of the program, and you've probably sat in, we'll lowball it and say tens of thousands of recruiting pitches where you were trying to get people to come to play for you at Notre Dame and then at Virginia and now here at Mississippi State. What was it like being on the other end of a recruiting pitch for a change?
Yeah, I mean, certainly exciting. These first 30 days here, we've had a lot of recruits come in town, not only transfer portal recruits, but also, 2025 recruits, 2026 recruits. And it's just been awesome being here in Starkville. And, the community that's rallies around this baseball program, obviously the facility and the fan base, it's been awesome to be on that side of it, talking about playing in the SEC and all the advantages of that in this environment here in Starkville. It's been pretty incredible. It's been really, really great responses out of a lot of recruits.
Have you had that catch your breath moment yet?
No, there really hasn't been time to. It's just been, foot on the accelerator every day. I'm sure after we get this roster set, after we get through the draft and we understand what next year's team looks like, and you start to game plan for the fall, for the players to come back, I think then you'll be able to take kind of a breath and start to really think about now it's about developing the players and putting this team and this plan together. It's just been really 30 days of pretty much all recruiting. You know, people have asked me, hey, have you found a house or have you found a place to live? No, you know, I'm gonna get to that in November or December. You know, I need to focus on the task at hand, and there'll be a point in time that I can take a deep breath and step back and understand where I'm at and the magnitude of it and the excitement of it. But that's not right now. It's foot to the accelerator and keep going.
Who's somebody in the game of baseball that you admire?
Oh, geez. You know, that's a great question. There's just a lot of people. I think a lot of great coaches over the years that as a young coach growing up, that I absolutely admired, right, and respected. You know, my college coach, Jim Hendry, who's now the assistant general manager of the New York Yankees, made such a profound impact on my life. He's actually why I decided to get into coaching, because of the impact that he made on me as a college player. And really, that's, you know, back then I was a 22-year-old first-time assistant coach. I was the restricted earnings assistant coach, which was the second assistant coach. And it was the impact that Jim made on my life, and I still stay very, very connected with him. I was able to be on the USA Baseball Collegiate National Team coaching staff in 2018, where he was one of the coaches on the staff as well. So I would say Jim is the guy that you know, really made the biggest impact on me and got me into coaching.
You talked about the transfer portal and all the recruiting you've been doing over the past month. Besides just getting the best players you possibly can, you know, what was the plan for roster construction in this portal window? What did you need to achieve to be successful next season?
Well, first and foremost, it was to retain the Mississippi State players that wanted and to return to Mississippi State. That was my number one priority, was figuring out last year's roster and, you know, which players wanted to move along to a new opportunity, and then which players, you know, needed to be back here at Mississippi State. So that was first and foremost. And then after the fallout from that, and you had to understand what your needs were, certainly there was a huge need behind the plate. We did not return any catching that had any innings, and shortstop, and certainly to shore up the pitching staff and to add a little bit of power and athleticism to the lineup. So we feel like where we're at in the transfer portal right now, we've accomplished most of that. We still have a couple of other pieces to add that we're working on, but we feel like we're getting really, really close to putting this team together. And then in 10 days, we'll be dealing with the Major League Draft and see how that hits us, and then adjusting and adapting from there.
When you I don't know if you're aware of this or not, it's been a big story in my world with Ace Reese this past couple of weeks, people making sure that he was going to remain here at Mississippi State. I'm not sure if you heard that story or not. I'm sure you spoke to him, though, in the last week or so. What were those conversations like?
Yeah, good question. I had heard about that. I was actually, you know, knee deep in all that, Brian, you know, just a lot of dialogue with Ace over the last 30 days about, you know, just about his decision and the right thing for him to do, and him getting confident and comfortable with our coaching staff. I mean, Brian, anytime that there's change, it's difficult, right? And people have to make their own decisions for what they feel is right in their life. You know, Ace Reese is beloved here in Starkville, and he made the decision to return here for his draft eligible year because, first and foremost, he loves this fan base. He loves this community. And, you know, he just felt like, you know, ultimately staying in the same place was the right thing for him to do for his career.
When you think about recruiting, I'm going to assume almost every high school coach and travel ball coach in the state of Virginia knows who you are and has spoken to you in over the course of your career. How quickly can you build those kind of relationships with the coaches here in Mississippi?
Well, it takes time. Obviously, we're focused right now on, what it takes to build next year's roster, but that'll happen in time. It doesn't happen immediately. It happens when we get a chance to have dialogue with them and get out and see high school baseball games. But that's very, very important because that first and foremost can be the lifeblood of our program, is the high school baseball in this state. Obviously, we'll have to venture out of the state, but developing those relationships with the high school coaches. A number of our incoming recruits in the 2025 class are Mississippi players, that will be, as we move along and get settled, that'll be a focus of ours for sure.
What is the time? You mentioned the MLB draft. It's coming up in 10 days, and that's when you, like you said, you'll finally get some real idea of what your roster is going to look like going into fall practice. The time between the draft and the start of fall practice, what does that look like for you?
Well, it's when the fallout from the draft happens, it's kind of picking up the pieces and deciding what else do you need to add post-draft to the roster. That'll be the priority. And then it will turn to getting prepared for the players to return and kind of setting up fall baseball, what that schedule looks like, what that calendar looks like. So, it right now it's recruiting, and then once you're done with that, it turns to recruiting the 2026 and 2027 recruits while you're getting prepared for the players to return to get ready for fall baseball and setting that up. So, you never stop recruiting. That's nonstop year round, but it'll be focused on next year's team and the players and getting that set up for them to have a great experience for the fall and develop them to get ready for next spring.
One thing I've heard a number of times when I ask people about you and your staff is they're impressed with the organization that you have. One quote I was told was they have backup plans for their backup plans on this staff. Is that something that you learn from another coach, or is that just something that was your nature before you even got into coaching?
Well, it's kind of how I'm wired, candidly, Brian. I'm an organizer. I try to have foresight in things. I think anybody that's a leader, no matter what they do, having a plan and having foresight, and different options is incredibly important. And so otherwise you're reactionary. And when you're reactionary as a leader, or a team is always reactionary. If you're reactionary in a game, most times you get beat. To be successful in the game of baseball, a lot of times you got to be thinking a pitch or two ahead. And in the organization of this baseball program, we always have to be thinking a day, a week, a month, ahead. On the field, you're always thinking a pitch or two ahead. Off the field, you've got to be thinking days, weeks, and months ahead.
One of the things I like about college baseball and college basketball is that there's so much less rigidity with scheduling. You think about football, you know who you're playing in 2037 sometimes, sitting here in 2025. Baseball, it's a year-to-year thing. When you're creating the schedule, how do you like to attack that? Are you a high RPI out-of-conference scheduler, or do you want to look at it and say, hey, the SEC is going to carry our RPI. We can, possibly schedule a little differently in the out-of-conference. How do you attack it?
Well, certainly the RPI is driven by the league, and being in the SEC, that's going to be a big driver of the RPI. But we have 4 weekends before we start SEC play. We'll certainly, put ourselves in a tournament one of those 4 weekends to challenge yourself in a big name tournament. And then the other 3 weekends, it looks like that at least the schedule that I inherited, schedules are typically done a couple of years ahead of time. They're at home, they're here in Starkville, and then you're limited a little bit about what you can do midweek. Obviously, location and who we've played in the past is a big part of it. Obviously, we have the one game in the middle of the week with Ole Miss. We'll play Southern Miss, play the traditional teams that they have played here in Starkville. So, a lot of that midweek games are, you don't have a lot of flexibility with it. It's more what you do on the first 4 weekends.
Let's wrap it up with this question. Will anybody have higher expectations of Mississippi State baseball than you do?
Absolutely not. You know, I think you know, anybody that leads something, you know, in every case, their expectations are higher than anybody else. But listen, I understand, Brian, the expectations are very, very high here. I don't talk about expectations as the leader of the baseball program. I talk about standards. Right. That's what the players will hear from me every day, because the standards, if they're taken care of and addressed every day, the expectations take care of themselves.
That's what we like to hear here in Starkville when it comes to this baseball program. But the expectation level, as you said, very, very high. And looking forward to seeing your career as it goes here at Mississippi State. Brian O'Connor, really appreciate your time today. Have a great fourth, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
So Brian, completely jealous of the fact that I do my own interview with Brian O'Connor. He has to do one 2 weeks later.
So.
That's the same stuff we used to make fun of. Like, well, it's not news until so and so says it. I don't
That's
believe it until
right.
so and so says it.
Now, that I didn't ask him anything to believe, you know, I just asked him some stuff. But yeah, like I wanted to do it next week, and then they told me like he could do it tomorrow. I was like, and you know what's funny is today is my day off. I took today off, so I was going to do this podcast, but that was it.
I know I got asked to do your show 6 hours ago.
So they text. I gotta tell you the story. First off, thanks to Coach O'Connor for his time. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. They text me.
Did you listen to my interview at least?
Yeah. So
Okay.
I don't think we had a lot of overlap.
Okay.
Well, I forgot what to say. Oh, yeah. I got a call. Like, they called me during the show, during Sports Talk yesterday. Hey, is Robbie working for you tomorrow? I'm just like, no, I don't know. That's not on me. Like, I just take the day off. I don't handle anything else. And so they're
When
like,
did you
oh.
put this down? You were taking this day off.
At least a month ago, when I maybe longer, when I knew that I was going to be cooking. So it's been at the minimum a month ago. Yeah.
You know, I would have done this
Yeah.
even on short notice. I would have done this, but there's just too much going on
If they had
today. I
told you a couple of
can't.
weeks ago, yeah. What?
I could have planned it out. Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks again to Coach O'Connor. Appreciate his time. All interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to
You
you by.
talk about a man that is scheduled. He follows a schedule.
He's locked. Again,
That's him.
the text I got was like, he's available between 10 and 2 tomorrow. I was like, 10. Let's get done early.
I was talking to somebody that had to meet with him, and he met with him on like a few different occasions or whatever, and like every single time he met with him was mapped out.
Yeah.
Like it was a certain time period. He had 30 minutes to talk to him, and that's it,
I
and
asked him
moved
about
on.
being organized and where did that come from? So he goes into that a little bit in the interview. So
All right.
all interviews on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness for rest and recovery. Guys, you can't, it's not just about working out. That's not how you stay healthy. You know, you can work out, you can go to the gym, you can go for a run, but how do you take care of your body afterwards? That's the key to long-term health and happiness. Alora Modern Wellness makes that easy for you. They have so many options, so many things that they can do to help you feel better after your workouts. And if you're just dealing with general pain, if you're somebody, you know, that has pain in your arms and your legs, your hands, your feet, they have solutions for you to help you manage that. So give our friend Rich Lopez a look. AloraModernWellness.com is the website. You can book everything right there. But and you know, you don't have to, you know, if you're somebody like me, I don't like to talk on the phone. Robbie will tell you. I don't like to talk on the phone. I'm a texter.
No.
So
But sometimes you are like, hey, I gotta call and tell you
sometimes
something.
the only time I will call you is if it's just too much to text. If it's
You
like
just have a story to
I have a
tell.
story. Yeah. If I'm calling, I've got a story. That's about it. My story right now is that Alora Modern Wellness is a great place to help you feel better. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, and of course, the older brother. I see our friend Shane Reed was at Two Brothers. He's worlds were colliding yesterday.
We had a thunder and lightning inception.
Yeah. Whoa.
If we could have had Wyatt Craig in there, and we could have had like some of the like, could we get some more people in there and just have a business meeting between all the Thunder and Lightning
It'd
sponsors?
be like in The Godfather, where they all meet, and Barzini and Tattaglia and all of them, they all
Yep.
meet, and like you and I are, you and I are just there, like, I'm glad we could all be here today. So
So you're obviously the Don.
I get to be Vito in this. You can be Tom Hagen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can't be Al Pacino.
Well, he wasn't at the meeting.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about in the whole
Oh,
in the whole
well,
family
if we're
layout.
being totally honest with me and you, I think you're Santino. You got a temper.
Yeah, I do have a
You got a
temper.
little bit of a temper. So I'm gonna go. I think you're Santino, unfortunately.
Well, as long as I'm not Santino Marella.
Yeah. Well, no, I was gonna say as long as you're not Fredo.
Yeah, do not. I do not want to be Fredo.
No, nobody wants to be Fredo.
He's a rat. He's a.
I'm smart. I always like making that joke with Ole Miss fans when they're like, "We're the older brother." I'm like, "Fredo was the older brother too." How did that work out?
Exactly.
So, speaking of the older brother, great place to go get sandwiches, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. Did you say it? There you go. We had a little mix up there.
Sometimes the microphone doesn't catch it.
Yeah, sometimes you're so fast with it, it's like, what happened? If you're looking for technology for your business, the place to call is Advantage Business Systems. Copiers, printers, computers, laptops, whatever it is. But the most important thing is this: if something goes wrong, you've got a person you can call that you've already talked to, you've built a relationship with, and then everything will be taken care of easily because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. The biggest and best selection of Mississippi State merchandise to be found is in the city of Starkville, is at Maroon & Co. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white. If you're trying to get ready for next football season, if you're looking ahead to baseball and you need to get yourself some MOVS gear, it's all right there at Maroon and Co. Use our promo code to save 15% off on your next purchase. Thunder 15, 15% off regular price, in store or online at maroonandco.com. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon and Co. The weekend is here. It's a long weekend. That means I know some of you guys are going to be out in the yard. Everything you're going to do around your house this weekend, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden can make it easier for you. Of course, the main thing they can do for you is put some John Deere power in your garage. Commercial mowers, they've got them. Gators, they've got them. Tractors, they've got them. Sometimes we're talking about 0% financing. It's just a great deal on a great piece of machinery that's going to make your lawn look its best. Everything you want to do around the house, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden is there for you. Check them out. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. All right, second interview time. This is going to be a short show today for you, Rob. We don't have to do a lot of work. I know you're excited.
Oh, nice.
Let's go ahead and go to the interview.
Always enjoy those.
We'll talk about it afterwards. Jackson Fuller covers the Arkansas Razorbacks for the Southwest Times Record. This is our opponent preview this week. Let's talk about the Razorbacks and Mississippi State with Jackson Fuller. Mississippi State will start the month of November off taking on the Arkansas Razorbacks in what should be a really important game for both of these teams and any kind of potential bowl hopes. Jackson Fuller joins us as he has so many times before from the Southwest Times Record. And Jackson, when I look at the Arkansas depth chart, tell me if I'm off on this. It feels like defensively they hit the transfer portal looking for competition and depth. Offensively, they went looking for impact players and guys who can contribute right away. Am I pretty close to the mark on that one?
I think that's how it ended up turning out. I think that when you this they needed some guys in the secondary out of the portal for sure. And I wouldn't, I don't. There's gonna be a lot of competition over the course of August. I mean, you could have five newcomers start in the secondary, and that wouldn't completely surprise me. You could have four returnees start. They just beat those guys out. I think defensively, the front six, front seven was in a decent spot where they just kind of wanted to add depth, but they needed to go get some guys to at least compete and potentially be starters on the secondary. But yeah, you're right. Offensively, I mean, they had to replace almost every single pass catcher from last year. They had to go get a couple new offensive linemen. But at the end of the day, they brought back their best offensive lineman and they brought back their best qu their quarterback, and that's a pretty good starting out point, I think, for any team.
You know, if you only watched one college football game last year and it was Mississippi State versus Arkansas, you would think Talen Green might be the best quarterback who ever played the sport. He was unbelievable that day, and he was pretty good for the entire season. What's the next step for him this year? What can he do better than he did a season ago?
Individually for him, I think it's just working on the intermediate passing game, being a little bit more settled in the pocket when maybe your first, second read isn't there, still being able to make that throw to the third read, or when you escape. He does a good job of escaping and keeping his eyes downfield, but I feel like most of the times when he escapes, he looks to run. But really, I think Taylen Green's success this year, I think it's going to be very similar to last year, unless the if but if the offensive line is better, which they think it will be, he could take another leap forward just by having more protection. I think that was the biggest thing against Mississippi State, right? That was the best the offensive line played for Arkansas all year. And so the offense had its best game of the year when they played against Ole Miss and Tennessee, Texas A&M. They really struggled up front, and Talen wasn't the same dynamic threat out of the quarterback spot. So a lot of his success is just going to come down to the offensive line and them continuing to improve from, 2 years ago, they were one of the worst in the entire country. Last year, they were serviceable, but still pretty weak in the SEC. They can be average to above average in the league this year. That's going to make a world of a difference for Green.
And then you mentioned it, so many new faces at the skill positions for the Razorbacks. When you think about that receiving core, who stands out to you?
Gosh, man, it's really a guessing game at this point. I mean, we've got to watch them in the spring, but it's still so hard to tell. For me, the guy I liked the most this spring was Omega Blake. He's a Charlotte transfer. Took him a few weeks to settle in and build some chemistry with Green, but once he did, he just looks like a different guy when the ball's in his hands. Like, by far the biggest yards after catch threat on the team. He averaged like 24 yards a catch last year with the 49ers, a deep threat guy. And that's something like Arkansas last year, their deep threats, like it was Isaiah Satania, more of a small guy. Andrew Armstrong liked to, run in the intermediate of the field. They didn't have this big physical downfield threat that Omega Blake could be this year. But we'll see. I think it's just so wide open there. I mean, Ishmael Cisse probably had the best spring from start to finish, a Stanford transfer. And I think I know they're high on Jaylen Brown, who they got in the spring portal from Florida State and slash LSU, one of those two quick transfer guys young in his career. So, I mean, it feels like the team knows who it is pretty much everywhere except for secondary and wide receiver. Those are going to be some really fun position battles, especially with those two positions, going head to head every day in camp.
One thing I've said about Mississippi State a few times is you're really going to know what this team is early in the season. I feel like the same is true for Arkansas. They start off the year with a couple of games that they should win, but then at Ole Miss, at Memphis is not a throwaway game. And then, of course, they host Notre Dame to round out the month of September. What do you think this Arkansas first month of the season is going to look like? And if they're 3-2, let's say they can win that game at Memphis, I think they'll be favored to do so. What do you think about this team's chances going forward?
I think they got to get to 3-2, like you just mentioned. I mean, if they're 2-3, whoo boy, there's going to be a lot of angry fans. There's going to be a lot of questions and doubts inside the program, because after Notre Dame, it's Tennessee, Texas A&M, Auburn, and it's just a relentless schedule this year. I think that's the thing I've kind of been talking to people is a lot of people are down on the talent of this year's team compared to last year. I think it could be a better team and still finish with a worse record because of the schedule. But I think you nailed it on the head. They've got to get to 3-2. They've got to win that at Memphis game, which not easy by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not an Arkansas, I'm not a native here, but the people are nervous as heck about playing Arkansas State for the first time in, their history. Those two schools have never played each other.
I didn't
It's
know
going to be
that.
a It's
Okay.
going to be a neutral game, neutral site game in Little Rock. Arkansas State's coming off an 8-5 season. Like, there's a little bit of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're playing Arkansas State this year, right? For the first time in forever, or first time ever. So, Gosh, they got to survive. They got to survive that first month, get to 3-2, and then see if they can maybe pluck an upset or two to try and get bowl eligible.
Sam Pittman, some people have said, like with Arkansas this year, that there is no middle ground with this team, right? It's either going to be, look, we're taking a big step forward and we can move forward in the Sam Pittman era, or he's going to miss a bowl and they're going to have to have a coaching search. 6-6 is the worst possible outcome for Arkansas. Is that a pressure? Is that a little extra pressure there that there is no middle ground for this team? They either have to be incredibly successful or they just want to lose enough games to get a new coach.
Pressure on the administration, maybe, and the people making the decision. I mean, but this is the situation Sam Pittman was in last year, except I think the local fans, the hot seat is still just as hot for all them. But as far as like the national media and the narrative and what the country kind of thinks of Sam Pittman, the seat was hotter last year, coming off a 4-8 season where everything that went wrong, that could go wrong, did go wrong. So he's dealt with this before. I think he's I honestly I think Sam's feeling a little sneaky confident just in talking to him that he like got past last year. They kind of reset the culture with a new quarterback, a lot of new core guys. We'll see. I mean, I think you're right that like if they don't make a bowl game, he's probably gone. I don't really see this team taking like a crazy step forward, just like we've discussed, because of the
Schedule.
difficult schedule. But I mean, I don't think there's more pressure on Sam this year than there was last year. So maybe he's used to it. Maybe that's a good thing for the program.
Give me a player that you know, a new guy, a new face at Arkansas that you expect to have I know you mentioned Omega Blake. Maybe look on the defensive side of the ball. Somebody you expect to have a big 2025.
Well, he's not new, but he's going to be a first-year starter. That's Quincy Rhodes, the defensive end. I mean, I think 6'5", like 290. He's got. You know, he looks like a Landon Jackson clone out there. But Landon Jackson produced for Arkansas for 2 straight years, and Quincy's now going to have to step into those really big shoes. But I mean, he was really, really good all spring. He's flashed in a little in his few appearances last year. He's going to be have to be the guy that kind of leads that defensive line as far as getting after the passer and still has to be solid against the run. I think he does have that capability in him. And, you know, if everything pans out right and he reaches that ceiling, he is the next defensive line, you know, draft pick from Arkansas. He's got that type of potential. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does. I mean, and, you know, he's also a key person where if he gets injured, you know, heaven forbid for this Arkansas team, the defensive line depth becomes really thin all of a sudden, especially at the edge.
So Mississippi State and Arkansas 2 years ago, we were treated to one of the worst games in the history of the Southeastern Conference. Mississippi State was able to win that. Last year, just an absolute train wreck defensively for Mississippi State, and Arkansas took full advantage of it. What do we expect with this matchup this year? It is absolutely a must-win for both of these teams to have any shot to be a postseason team.
Yeah, I think Arkansas is probably still better than Mississippi State. I just think like, you know, the like environment and the emotion and maybe the vibes around the programs are in different spots because Mississippi State is still kind of rebuilding under Leavy and there's some room to grow here, whereas Arkansas feels like maybe it's reached its ceiling under Sam Pittman. But I do think like when those two teams go head to head, I think Arkansas is going to have the better players up front and in the offensive line and defensive line, and that was kind of the difference maker last year. I think that's still going to be the case this year, but you know, if we come back and have this podcast next year, I don't know how I would feel about that just because, you know, Mississippi State's in year three and Arkansas's kind of been on a slight downward trend. But as far as this year goes, I mean, I would really like when we get to that game, I'm going to be looking at how many rushing yards is Mississippi State giving up? That was kind of a big indicator going into last year's game. Like, ooh, this could be a good matchup for Arkansas. But if the Mississippi State defensive line makes huge strides from how they played last year, toss up, man. I mean, truly a toss up. Like we could see, you know, I know the game 2 years ago wasn't exactly fun, but it was super close. It felt like two teams that were pretty much equal in terms of talent and everything. And I could see something similar unfolding if Mississippi State takes the needed strides up front.
We shall see if that is the case. And we will certainly know that by the time we get to November when these two teams match up. Jackson Fuller, man, always a pleasure to have you on the podcast. One day we will sit down and do a full Chelsea podcast. It will happen between you and we'll find some other guys around the SEC that share our love for the Blues. But thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brian. Sounds good.
Robbie, I can make a pretty solid case that the Arkansas game is the second most important game on Mississippi State's schedule. I think Arizona State is one, and then Arkansas or Southern Mississippi is second. And I hate to put Southern Miss there, but it absolutely is. State needs to win that game, and they really need to win it convincingly. But Arkansas is the game that, as we sit here on July 3rd, is the SEC game that you would most likely say State has a good chance in, has their best chance in, however you want to phrase it. 2 years ago, that game, I wish I could take it from my memory, but I can't. I still remember how terrible it was. Last year was an embarrassment. Maybe the low point of the season for Mississippi State was the way Arkansas just moved through them with ease. So we're talking about a game that State lost by 30 points last year, and a game where they gave up 59 points and it's almost 700 yards of offense. But we're going to have to talk about it in terms of can State win it? And I think they can. I think they can if they play the way we think they're capable of playing at times this year. I don't know if you're going to get the consistency, but when they play Arkansas, they will hit the field with a chance to win.
Yeah, I know you didn't listen to Sports Talk Mississippi when we did our top five games, so I know you didn't steal that from me, but yes,
I did not, no.
that is one of the most important games this year
Yeah,
for
100%.
Mississippi State. And I agree with you, it's probably the most winnable SEC game they have. I still think Missouri's a winnable game. I still think Ole Miss is a winnable game because it's a rivalry game played at home. But Arkansas legitimately is probably the most winnable game from the standpoint of like it's probably going to be the more even matchup from a talent perspective. It's been State's probably their from a SEC perspective, it's probably been their most winnable game on an SEC schedule just about every year. They've been productive against Arkansas for the last 10 years. So it's a very winnable game, but it is on the road in the SEC. You have a very experienced quarterback that's been a starting quarterback for 3 or 4 years now, and he's been in that system for the last 2 years. That was an Arkansas team that I thought looked a lot different under Bobby Petrino as the OC last year. I thought that they were more competent offensively. They're more multiple on the offensive side of the ball, but it's still Arkansas, and it's still, God love him. It's a team coached by Sam Pittman, who we've been saying is on the hot seat for the last 3 years. So at any point, that thing could implode on them. I don't know what they're going to be like. I know that their recruiting isn't great, so it's not like they've made an overhaul offensively or defensively. If Mississippi State is a better team and they're taking that move upwards, and we're thinking that there's a chance that they could upset a team or two, or they could be better than people expect. This is a game they need to win. This is one of those games that are there for the taking in the SEC because there's not many of them. When you look at that schedule, this is one of the few that State is capable of going and winning. So it is a very, very big game for them. And they need to be significantly better defensively because that was a monstrosity that they had defensively last year. One of the worst defensive games that they played. And that's saying something.
In the history of the school, one of the worst defensive games. I mean, it's in my opinion, two of the top three, maybe, worst games in Mississippi State history defensively are against Arkansas, 2016 and 2024. And both of those games, they're kind of similar in that it was all on the ground for Arkansas. They could not be stopped running the football. They put up 50 plus points. I don't remember if they punted in this game or not. I think they did, but I remember, the game in 2016, famously, they did not punt. So, yeah, this is a game for State. They have to find their way. I thought offensively in that game last year, they had some moments, but they just could not get stops. And that was not against, as Jackson said, that was not against what was a dominating Arkansas offensive line. But in that game, they were just road graders. So State has got to be better up front in this game. That's where it's going to start.
I remember some of the Arkansas people were like, this offense is really humming right now. You know, Taylen Green looks amazing, things like that. I was like, guys, this is fool's gold.
Yeah.
Do not judge yourselves based on this game. And the very next week, they were right back to the pumpkin. I mean, that was 100% a Mississippi State problem and not an Arkansas thing. Which they did the same thing in the basketball game too. And they were like, Arkansas is turning the corner here. Like, let's just wait and see. Which I
Yeah.
think that did get a little bit better, but you know, State couldn't defend the three, and like, it's a Mississippi State problem. It's the same
Yeah.
thing for football.
Like they beat State and you think, okay, they're moving right along. And then the next week they played Ole Miss and gave up what 700 yards on their own and lost
Yeah.
63-31 at home to Ole Miss. So yeah, they didn't build on it.
It was
So
a Mississippi State deal.
100%. Yeah. Very interesting game for State. They have to find a way. If you want to talk about going to a bowl, if you want to put bowl game as a goal that you think Mississippi State can meet, beating Arkansas is a non-negotiable. You have to win your four non-conference. You've got to beat Arkansas, and then you got to find one more win. And I don't know where that one is, but Arkansas, there is no world where State. I'll say that I say there is no world. There likely isn't a world where State can win six games without one of those six games being Arkansas.
Yeah,
Just seems unlikely.
it would be a strange way to get there.
It would because it would mean they probably beat Tennessee or
Ole
Georgia or
Miss.
Ole Miss. I mean, honestly, the best case scenario is for six might involve Ole Miss, so I don't know if that's the one either.
I'm not going all in on this just yet. But that Tennessee game,
Interesting.
I'm just not ready to throw that one out yet.
If State can find a way to beat Arizona State and be 4-0 when that game comes, you have a big crowd, there will be excitement, and I don't know what Tennessee's going to be. The world exists, Robbie. It exists.
Like, I
I don't
think
know
their
about.
defense will be good. And
Yeah.
I think they'll put up numbers offensively, but like, I can't objectively look at this quarterback situation and say they're good. They're going
Right.
to be in good shape. Like, I can't. I'm going to have to see it first.
We shall see. All right. Next week's opponent, probably a little more unlikely State beats them. We'll talk about the Texas Longhorns next week on the podcast. Guys, I want you to enjoy your 4th of July, and I'll be back with you, and as will Robbie. Very soon. I will not be on Sports Talk Mississippi on Thursday, as you probably know by this point. And back on Monday, and we'll be up and running to talk about Mississippi State sports. Looking forward to it. Guys, have a great fourth. Robbie, have a great fourth. And I'll talk to you guys again very, very soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.